I'm giving the same talk on Monday.
Okay.
Okay, so the motivation for this talk is actually coming from the fact that LHC will come up in the not-so-distant future, so I'll try to relate some ideas and strengths to things you might measure. Now, LHC is a machine which collides protons and photons, and it's a machine which has to do much with color interaction. So actually what we would expect in some way, if we are lucky, that we might create something like green on the machine, and that would be something.
I'm going to try to turn the lights on. I hope I don't interrupt. I might have to interrupt. Sorry about that.
So in any case, so that's something we should look for, and then actually we have to find out whether string theory makes predictions or not. We have seen various models, and we have to see. So what I will talk about is, first I will discuss about a few mediation schemes in string theory, and actually why things have changed in the last 15 years or so. Then I will talk about a scheme which is known as Mirage mediation and some properties of this. We'll find out that actually for gay genome masses, predictions are pretty robust. This comes from the fact that it's actually difficult in many cases to create gay genomes. Global supersymmetry, they are dimension 5 operators, they are non-renormalizable, so typically they are very small. But of course, in gravity, in theories of gravity, this is not necessarily the case. And we'll discuss some patterns of gay genome masses which might appear in string theories, and I will identify some of these things. And then I will talk with something about uncertainties and conclusions and outcomes. So now the uncertainties are there, and in fact, if you want to, we have to be somewhat lucky to hope for that LHC actually tells us a clear picture. So I'll talk about mediation schemes, and supersymmetry is supposed to be both in the hidden sector, and typically we have something which is called the variant of gravity mediation. Discussed in string theory, this appeared in the 80s in the heterotic string, and there we had some tree-level dilaton and modulus mediation. In fact, in the simplest version, the Kähler modulus T was responsible for the breakdown of the supersymmetry. And the restricted no-scale models at that time, it actually turned out that in this case there were no supersymmetry-breaking terms, and then there was this question whether radiative corrections might play a role. And one specific way of radiative corrections which appear is the ones discussed, which are known under the name of anomaly mediation. What's nice about them, these terms are determined by things which we know from the standard model, or the MSSM, because it's given by the beta functions of the MSSM, which we know. So this is something which we can control from the low energy theory. Others of the uncertainties, as we will see, will have to do with physics at a very high scale, and that they might be disturbing the picture. Something which had been new in the last years, which was not around in the 90s, is that there we were happy with modulus dilaton mediation, but what we learned recently, and this was triggered by this picture of KKRT, that actually the mechanism that adjusts the cosmological constant might actually be the most important contributor to the mediation scheme. So that in fact, the modulus dilaton mediation might not be the most important one. So the basic questions, of course, is the origin of the small scale and the stabilization of the moduli. And progress recently has been in some way, especially in the type 2B string theory. Then we have these two fluxes, which we didn't have, which we don't have, at least in the normal heterotic theory. Heterotic theory, we have to discuss some generalized flux complexifications to have it at the same level as type 2B string theory. And of course, the picture in type 2B was put together by Kalosh, Linde, and Trevidy, and they, in a certain way, in the type 2B string theory, came up with this picture where they added gay genome condensates and some uplift. And the question is whether in that scheme, actually, we can see a general pattern. Typically, what we have is we have a superpotential W, which consists of something which comes from flux and the Gaugino condensate. And the Gaugino condensate will be e to the minus x, where x is has to do with one of the moduli, the dilaton or some T fields or whatever. Now, and typically if we look at this, something in exponential minus x will be to some way of the same order of magnitude, and the something has to be given by the gravitational mass. So if something is very small, then x also should be moderately large. And in fact, generically, what you'll get that x is just something like the log of ln Planck over n3 half. So there is a parameter in the scheme, which is what I call the little hierarchy. It's the log of the hierarchy which we have, which comes up in that scheme. And actually, it turns out that in such a scheme, we will actually, what we'll see is that the contribution of modulus mediation, which will dominate that tree level, is actually suppressed by that factor. And that factor turns out to be 4 pi squared, if we take the values which we are like to consider. And in that scheme, actually 4 pi squared is something which is what you will get. 1 over 4 pi squared when you look at radiative corrections. So we have the tree level contribution suppressed, and then if we have radiative corrections, one loop, let's say, then they will actually become competitive and lead to some mixed mediation schemes. And I will actually discuss the simplest here, because that's the one which actually happens in the KKT case, in this specific case, where we have what is known as anomaly mediation, and it competing with modulus mediation, because modulus mediation is suppressed by that factor. As we'll see, we call this mirage mediation for reasons which we'll see in a moment. The scheme has the following properties, is that the gravitational mass is a factor x bigger than the soft mass term. So typically these theories have a rather large gravitational mass, and in fact the modulus x is again a factor heavier than n3 half. So this is a generic signal of the scheme. The moduli and the gravitational are heavy, so the moduli, even the ones which are connected to supersymmetry breakers, some of the modulus are heavy because they are fixed by the fluxes. And the Gaugino mass spectrum, as we will explain in a moment, you cannot see that now, will be compressed. And certainly this is a picture where Susi Prating is more distant than just away by gravity. It's sometimes happening in these theories when it's sequestered in a warp form. So mirage unification is a mixture of this contribution from modulus and anomaly mediation, and two contributions of comparable size. Of course, if there's not this suppression, then modulus would dominate. Now, M anomaly, as it is defined in that scheme, is proportional to the beta function. So in the typical situation, when we look at SU3 cross SU2 cross U1, it will be negative for the Kreno, it will be positive for the Bino, and also for the Dino. So what will happen is that when we think about the gut scale, there will be a splitting at the gut scale of this contribution M anomaly, because it's proportional to the beta functions. And in fact, there will be a negative contribution for the Kreno usual normalization. So when we are looking at the evolution of couplings, so I'm assuming that gauge couplings unify at the gut scale, and we have the MSSM, this will be the evolution of couplings. And in this case, the evolution of the Gaugino masses now will look like this. They will have a contribution. They will have a contribution here, which is a sum of the universal modulus mediation and the non-universal anomaly mediation. And the splitting here is proportional to the beta function. But then the running of these Gaugino masses goes with the beta function. And since it's the same amount which is split, they will meet at some scale. So the picture for the Gaugino masses which we have, in some way, is that they meet at some scale, which is actually an accident. There's not some physics at that scale, but when you come from low energies, they meet at a given scale, but then they go apart, and actually the reason is that there is this split contribution here. So this would be the mirage scale. And certainly it is clear that the Kluino mass here is suppressed. So it actually the splitting of this Gaginos here at low energies, in fact, is smaller than it would have been as if you would have started with the pure modulus mediation. And in fact, if you make the mirage scale small, you will actually would be able to get into a situation where the Guarino, where the Gaginos masses Guarino, Vino, Vino would be rather similar at the weak scale. So this is just now, so I defined the mirage scale as m gut times the exponential of minus 8 pi squared over rho, where rho is this contribution of modulus mediation compared to anomaly mediation. So rho equal to 0 would correspond to pure anomaly mediation. So this rho is this parameter. Now we have a model where actually we only have a Kralikino mass and this parameter rho. So this scheme is even simpler than the m-supra scheme. So it has two parameters. So everybody would think that, well, it will gloriously fail. And in fact, it does not. In fact, when you look at the plot where you have that rho compared to m3 half, you will have a situation. Here you will have tachyons, and here you will have the wrong LSP. It will be the stop. This is the bound typically which you get because the Higgs should not be smaller than 114 GeV. And this is the allowed region. So actually, when rho is big enough, if rho is too small, it's pure anomaly mediation. You would have problems with tachyons. We know that. So if it is something like 4.5 or so above here, this is the allowed region. And it's consistent in a certain way with all the conditions of which we know up to now. That's actually encouraging. Well, this is for a small tangent beta. When you look at the big tangent beta, this is somewhat similar, so there's not a big difference. So it's actually something which works. Okay, I come back to that. So now I'm talking about a problem which a lot of people think we have with supersymmetry. It's usually called the little hierarchy problem. I don't call it a little one because I was already talking about the little hierarchy. That's the MSSM hierarchy problem. And it's the fact that we've seen in the present parameter space, which is left over from the lab measurements, we will actually have to worry, might have to worry about the fine-tuning, because when we are considering the formula for radiated electroweak symmetry breakdown induced by supersymmetry, we have to solve for the following formula. So we have the Z mass, which we know what it is. We have the mu parameter, and we have this contribution from the Higgs mass squared. And the point is, when we come from the high scale, there are large radiative corrections to mhu squared. And if the Susie breaking scale is in a TeV, you would expect the corrections to be of order TeV. This is 100 GeV or 90 GeV. So mu squared should cancel this contribution. And that is what people worry about, and which is called the MSSM hierarchy problem, even within the supersymmetric scheme. So actually, when you look at it and break it down to the parameter, it looks like the following. So mz squared, in fact, is given in this. This is a one-loop contribution. So there's the Guarino mass, the Vino mass, hu, at, m3. So you see these contributions, and then you see that the Guarino actually drives this very much. So a lot of what comes up here comes from the Guarino. So if the Guarino is heavy, this comes with a factor of 6. And that actually creates a problem. Of course, all the solutions to this MSSM hierarchy problem could come if you would stare long enough at these formulas. So some people say, well, you see, for example, if the A parameter is 10 times the Guarino mass, then we might have a solution to the problem because these two terms could cancel each other. But one thing which is certainly clear is that if the Guarino mass is reduced, this problem is reduced. So in this mirage situation, this is actually true. So you would actually think that you should make a very small rho. Very small rho, like 2 or so, is difficult to achieve. And one actually would have to require explicit model building to solve the MSSM hierarchy. So in a general step, the only thing which you have achieved at this moment is that one can actually make this contribution small in a rather natural way. And so the problem is not as bad as it looked from the beginning. So explicit schemes. Now the scheme which we discussed at the beginning was this KKLT scenario with the uplifting with anti-G free brain, so that everything is fixed. We can compute rho, and rho turned out to be 5. So that is the original KKFC scenario. And that in a certain way, you see, this is actually consistent with that plot, marginally, but it is. So this is rho equal to 5, and actually this corresponds to this intermediate mirage scale, which one has here, 10 to the 9. Or 10 to the 9. So this is actually the scheme which one would call pure mirage mediation, and that means that not only the gay genome masses, but also all the other soft masses, the scalar masses also meet at the intermediate scale. The exception is in the heaviest family, because they're the A parameter and the top masses play a role. So the gay genome masses and most of the scalar masses meet at the common mirage scale. So that's that scheme. The constraints on rho you have seen. But you could, of course, now go away from that, and there was one suggestion that one uplifts not by anti-D3 brains, but by F-terms, matter superpotential. And in fact, there, the parameter rho could be varied. It's no longer fixed, as in the case of the anti-D3 brain. And in fact, what it differs from is that actually it leads to contributions to the scalar masses, which are no longer of the type of mirage mediation, whereas for the gay genome masses, still, it is as the same prediction as before. So the gay genome masses still have that property, whereas the scalar masses might be dominated by modulus mediation, and so there one, of course, would have other parameters in the game. Now, the picture is still rather similar. So here it would look now in such a way, I explicitly now denoted the picture again. You see, this is rho, this is N3/2. Here we would not have electroweak symmetry breakdown. At very small values of rho, actually the cluino might be the LSP, which of course is not something which you would like to have. So again, the region which is a lot, this is again the lep bound, essentially coming from the Higgs mass being heavier than 115 GeV or so. This is again allowed, and this brownish region here is the one where the neutralino abundance is consistent with the WMAP constraint. But in fact, below this curve, the WMAP constraint, so the abundance is too small. Here it is too large, and here it's exactly correct. So it also could fit these more constraints. So this would be the new parameter, just if you want to look at the fine-tuning. So you would rather sit at one of these values to have a small mu. And then in the next plot, I can actually show you. So this is the decomposition of the various neutralino. Here's the Higgsino, here's a mixed one, and here's a Bino. It's the lightest neutralino, which of course is. So this is the same case when you do it in the heterotic one for large tangent beta. And here you see this is the strip where you have exactly the correct abundance. So this relaxed mirage scheme is rather common for F-term uplifting. So it gives us mirage pattern for the gay genomes, but not for the scalars. And I think the main message is that predictions for gay genome masses are more robust than those for the fermion masses, and that also we have this compressed pattern of gay genome masses. This is rather generic. Well, there's some question about D-term uplifting. Go to that. So let's now look at some string theories which we can consider. So we consider type 2b, type 2a, heterotic M3, M-theory on manifolds with G2 holonomy, or heterotic M-theory. So that in principle, that is in principle the things which we want to look at. And the questions are there distinct signatures for the various schemes, or do they all give the same? And can they be identified with LHC data? And this brings me now to this question of the gay genome masses. So the idea is that to some extent, cluinos is something which might be lighter than the squarks and the slab bounds, so that is something which we could produce at the LHC, since we are scattering gluons, so we could make cluinos. And now I make two assumptions. The first assumption is that I assume the MSSM at low energies up to the grad unified scale, and the second is that I assume the measured values of the gauge coupling constant. So these are measured, G1, G2, and G3, and at low energies, they are 1 to 2 to 6, approximately, if we look at this. So this is the measure. And if we use this in the MSSM, we then get an evolution of the gauge coupling so that they meet at 10 to the 16 GV, up to 4% or so. Now,
These are the formulae for the gay genome masses. I'll come back to that later, but you will see one thing here, is that I have written here MA over GA squared. And that's very important for the discussion, because it is the gay genome masses run like the gauge coupling cons. Actually, at one loop, MA over GA squared does not run. So even if we, in a certain way, have to follow an evolution of the gay genome masses, we might control them in terms of low energy parameters, which we know. And it is also then true in some way that the gay genome mass relations, if we would have measured the gay genome masses, the cluino versus the vino versus the dino, or at least have the cluino mass compared to the lightest neutralino mass, then this might reveal something about the underlying theory. And in fact, we will get, I discuss three characteristic patterns which are consistent with some with our knowledge at low energies. So we assume universal gay genome mass at the gut scale, which we usually get in some of the schemes, like, for example, if we have Dillaton domination in a heterotic scheme, or we have D7 brains in type 2B theory. And then actually we will get this, what I call the M supra pattern, because that's the usual thing which we get from the universal picture. Then M1, M2, M3 at low energies will be 1 to 2 to 6. So if we would, in a certain way, could identify these particles at the LHC, and they would be 1 to 2 to 6, that would be the golden result for supersymmetry, because everybody said, that's it. If you would go to a Kaluza-Klein excitation or a gluon, it would be difficult to understand these relations. So here actually you see that the lightest supersymmetric particle, so the neutralino, is predominantly beno, and then you get a relation of the cluino to the beno mass, which is of order 6. So this is a correct. So even if you wouldn't know this one, if you have produced the cluino, it would decay in a cascade, and you would have some missing energies, you have good chances to determine the cluino mass and also the lightest neutralino mass very early in the scheme. We don't have to wait years and years. This is something you could do early, and in fact, this relation would be very useful. So that's the M-Sukra pattern. This is something, for example, in many cases where you have modulus domination. That's what you would expect. Now, the anomaly pattern, so let's take the pure anomaly pattern. Then, of course, the gay genome masses at the large scale are given by the beta functions at the gut scale, and when you run that down to the low energies, you'll actually get the anomaly pattern, which is 3.3 to 1 to 9. Now, in fact, here you'll see that the beno is rather heavy, and in fact, here you'll see this is the lightest, so this is why it is known that in the anomaly mediation scheme, the beno is predominantly the LSP, which in some way is less phenomenologically favored, but it's possible. And in fact, the cluino over the LSP ratio will be 9, so it would be even bigger than that scheme. Of course, pure anomaly mediation is inconsistent, as the fermion masses are problematic. They are tachyonic sklepnons in this scheme. But I think we should not. You see, scalar masses are very model dependent. So in the first step, I think we should not take them into account. Whereas for the gay genomes, these masses are much more robust. So therefore, I think that still would be possible. If you get an enormously large relation between the cluino mass and the LSP mass, that would smell. That would be a signal of an anomaly pattern. So this would be the nice pattern, but now fortunately or unfortunately, as we will see, we will have the mirage pattern. And actually the mirage pattern is a kind of interpolation with them, but since the cluino has this negative beta function coefficient, in some way, it interpolates in a very special way. So, for example, in the case when we had rho equal to 5, we get M1 to M2, M3, which is 1 to 1.3 to 2.5. If we would have rho equal to 2, which is not so easy to make, we would have this mass is equal. So, again, we will have predominantly beno, but here we will have a supersymmetric scheme where actually the M-cluino over the LSP could be much smaller than 6, because we have this compact gay genome mass pattern. So these are schemes which would be easily identifiable from the low energy parameters in the NSXM, assuming that there's not other things floating around, and also assuming that we can determine that from the low energy parameters. So that is something which might happen if we are lucky. So the uncertainties which we have are the string thresholds, so there could be, so these are essentially the corrections to the gauge kinetic function, the holomorphic part of the gauge kinetic function, these things which Dixon, Kaplanowski, Lewis has calculated for the first time. So these are uncertainties which come from the high energy theories. If they are there, they are there, and they will certainly mask all the things which we can't see. So we have to hope that these things are not very important. If they are, then of course that will be an uncertainty which we will not have correlated with the low energy theory. There are also Kähler corrections which might become important. So this will be corrections due to the Kähler function which couples the observable and the hidden sector. And then of course there could be, if you're thinking about gauge mediation, of course there could be intermediate thresholds, but you see that of course is something which is completely unpredictable. So one would have to make some assumptions to do that. So in some way these are the uncertainties. So now let's look at the various string schemes, and you see, what is important and what I think what we learn in KKNT and with the analysis in some way, that apart just from this modulus mediation and these very simple things in string theory, this sector that is responsible for breaking, for cancelling the cosmological constant might play a big role. You see, in KKNT you had fixed all the moduli, but you were an anti-de Sitter and supersymmetry was unbroken. And the breakdown of supersymmetry essentially came from the uplifting, and therefore it's also important. So what you would have thought originally, that when you have type 2B with matter on D7 brains, that you would have pure modulus mediation, the T modulus, that actually is not true. You'll actually get the mirage mediation because of the suppression. In contrast, if you put type 2B with matter on D3 brains, in fact you will have no contribution from the moduli, in this case, because it will not couple. And so you would end up with anomaly mediation, and so you would have to see. So this would be a candidate for anomaly mediation. Of course, you would have to figure out how you avoid this problem with the tachyonic sleptons. It might be that this does not work. Go back to string theories with dilaton domination. Also there, you would have thought everything is nice and under control. But in fact, also there, it has turned out that when you want to cancel the vacuum energy, it turns out that this contribution to cancel the vacuum energy again becomes important, and that the dilaton contribution is reduced, and that you will end up with a mirage mediation. Heterotic string with modulus domination, that's the old story. It's in a certain way the same here, but we of course know that there are, in many models there are strong string threshold corrections, which are also loop corrections, but they might be more important than the anomaly contribution. And that's of course a picture where we might have some sign of anomaly mediation if we are lucky. Then there has been a discussion of M-theory on a G2 manifold by these people. And in fact, they get a result which one has to interpret in the way that the Kähler corrections, which I mentioned before, actually spoil the mirage pattern. If there would not be some specific Kähler corrections, which they assumed, they actually would get the mirage pattern as well, but they get a different result.
Peter?
Yeah?
In the type 2B, we have our bonus is matter of external brains, but we do not have the aspiration. So
I know.
Right.
So because I found that out, yeah.
Sorry?
We found that out.
Yes, so
yeah.
I mean, that's like,
I think that's not one of the schemes which I discuss here, because you have to do some strange things at the intermediate scale to mimic gauge coupling
modification
at the large scale. So you have the string scale at an intermediate scale. You have the string scale at an intermediate scale, and you have to assume some strange couplings at that scale.
No, you have to fix some things. Now, you press it for these two things to be at the same level, you have to assume some things about your molar weights and some which are not consistent.
No.
So
I guess I'm talking about things which have unification at the gut scale.
Yes,
in a natural way. And you do something at the intermediate scale so that it looks as if it unifies at the large scale.
Since we are running a little bit out of time, we're going to suppress the question till the end.
But I remember a paper of yours. This was actually the paper why we wrote the game sheet. Because there, we found out that in your paper you should get 1, 2, 2, 2, 6. Huh? Yeah? And then we actually found out in the spectra of your paper you have mirage. Now you have corrected it, yeah. So let me come to the summary. So in the calculation of the soft masses, what I wanted to stress is that the predictions for the gauge masses are rather robust. It's usually very difficult to get them. And in string theory, where you have this gauge kinetic function F, that's where F is a function of the moduli, that's usually a good way to get gauge masses. And if they are suppressed, of course, as I have discussed before, then we might have loop contribution, and the anomaly mediation in some way is the simplest example. But of course, it's not the only one. Of course, it cannot be that you say, I suppress it completely, because some people have tried at a given point to say, this is completely suppressed, so I can make the Cravatino mass equal to the Planck mass, and I still have soft breaking at the TED. That does not work. And it is this log of M Planck over M free half, which in a certain way controls the possible suppression which you get in this case. And so you might expect that mixture of three-level and group and loop contributions, and in fact, that's something which I think we learned in the recent analysis, that this mixture typically appears. Simple modulus mediation is not so easy to get. You have to go to some schemes which are somewhat non-standard. So this brings me to the conclusion. Gaugino masses can serve as a promising tool to disentangle various string schemes. So that will certainly be true in the first years where LHC can give us results, because all these kinds of other stuff will be difficult. So it might be rather robust predictions, and we in some way could at least get one number, the ratio of the Cluino mass to the LSP mass. That would be something crucial to let us understand what is going on. The mirage pattern, as I said, is rather generic, and the question of pure modulus mediation, in fact, is a question which one should try to answer in a rather decisive way. But in many of the schemes which are thought to be modulus mediation, there are no more. And I think the main uncertainties will come from these string threshold corrections, and if we have them, then of course we will maybe not learn so much from this. So with some luck, we might test these ideas at the LHC. Thank you. Well, if I have Dilaton mediation in heterotic string theory, there's no flavor problem. And if you have an anomaly mediation, there's no flavor problem. There's a universal coupling. If you have type 2b with matter on the second frames, there's no flavor problem. There's a universal coupling, but there's no flavor problem.
No, typically I would say that all these couplings are moduli, at least the matter.
No, I guess the Dilaton in the heterotic string theory couples you inversely.
Right.
But whatever you
do. We have a mechanism of string breaking where only the Dilaton would be the one that's doing the mediation, right?
Well, at least there are models like that. Or if you have, let's say, type 2b on D7 planes, it's also. So it's something which I guess is solved. Case. It's not a coincidence. It comes from the fact that you have a certain pattern, you have a certain structure in the underlying theory, and that solves the problem.
I can say something more a moment, but we have the deal. Did you break it? the Taylor model is a very simple symmetry, and the flavor is seen by the quantum spectrum model. So you can separate the two issues. So that in terms of calculation, as long as these two flavors are separated, then you have universality. The universality will be brought to play.
But is it the cold separation between the two symmetries?
I mean, because we have first the critical density, so something that the first one is the critical, that does something that doesn't change the compression. That's the leading order. And just, you may expect for the dispersion to be but none of these two have to say the that's the way. Can I say something? when you said pure model explanation possible, I would say it's the other way around. First of all, we have in our model, we have the suppression that we find for the model variation, but also the normalization is also suppressed by the cell line, close to the correction. So then at the end of the day, we can neglect the normalization and then solve. That's pure model explanation.
So
I think
but you see, in your model, you see, I don't see that you can get a prediction for the gay genome masses. You could do whatever you like. You only in a certain way assume you make some. It's like spring threshold collections which you are doing, and you are doing it in such a way that you get a pattern at low energy.
No.
Yes.
Well, I think you have a little paper, but what we do is that there is something that we don't understand completely about the Higgs problem that nobody understands. You don't have it because you didn't have it. But there are corrections to the Higgs problem that you have to take into account. So we have to consider them. And then vary those things, then you have the ratio of the genome masses. Since you didn't take that into account, you assume that they were zero by hand. So then you cannot say it's a prediction for ourselves.
I have a freedom in your model to assume the gay genome masses by luck. You make a certain assumption, and by assumption you get
we consider something that you ignore.
We
consider something that you ignore. So you can we added a term.
You added a term. I could have added another.
You're talking about the stream models. You're talking about just a phenological model.
Again, we're going to have to call executive authority here. We're going to thank the speaker again. We're going to break. Let's meet again at 4:15. Let me just point out that we have a new not program, but a list of talks and abstracts. Really one for hard to read, so there are new ones out there.
Come on, now I'm mixed up.
Yes.
What happened to the 1/2 string?
No, there is. But you think the other one for us. Because in the E theory, that's what you count for.
So you have to take 1/2 string.
The order one.
This is what. Well, okay. So we have to start it out. Some time between.
Yeah, but there's only one problem I have to solve, and that is that my cable, of course, doesn't fit into American plugs. And the safest way of doing it is to remove this, because otherwise. Oh, yes, that's enough. If there is a power plug here somewhere. And now I have to be very careful that I don't leave my cable. Let's see. Or is there an extension for it?
Oh, they have all these things, right? Good. Oh,
yes, that's the other. But that's what I have with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. But I.
Who's? I guess. This time for me would probably be okay. I'm going to try to do this again myself. I'm failing as we what this thing requires.
Sure.
Did you find an electric outlet?
Not yet, but I'm just doing a few other things that I have to do. So meanwhile, you can.
No, obviously, that could happen. Together.
I see.
Laptop. So we use a Mac, but we need an outlet. Electric.
How far is
it? Oh, how long is okay, it? Maybe he needs the other one.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Maybe this
they found a technician, I can tell.
No, not the technician. No, we should.